This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. We touch on topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas. And what's really important to a lot of us is the mental health of our kids, our children, our youth. And they're in the midst of a mental health crisis that has seen a rise in depression, trauma, and actually thoughts of suicide. That's why Travis County, the City of Austin, Austin Public Health, and Integral Care, the local mental health authority in Travis County, have partnered on a campaign that will raise awareness of this crisis while providing parents and caregivers with resources to support their children. And the program is simply called, and you can access it on the Austin Public Health website, Ask, Listen, Talk, Repeat. And on the line today, I have Michelle Pearson, who is with Integral Care. She's a program manager with them. And William Malm, who's with Austin Public Health. And thank you for joining me. And first of all, it may seem obvious to some people, but let me just be Captain Obvious and ask, what are the primary causes for the depression and anxiety and even thoughts of suicide that are on the rise with kids today?
Well, I mean, I can speak a little bit just as, you know, my experience being in schools. You know, I think we take for granted that because, you know, we are out of the emergency state of COVID, that time and the impact that it has is over. And what we see in schools is certainly that loss of structure and isolation that kids experience, and certainly the realness of the danger that COVID presented, still has an impact on kids. So that's certainly something that, you know, we're seeing in schools is the continued impact that had.
They got disoriented, taken away from the structure of the school day, and had to stay at home for close to a year.
Absolutely. And I think kids have also had to navigate, you know, certainly making sense of social media and what we see, you know, in the news, and often don't have the tools to make sense of, you know, some of the real dangers that exist in the world. So that's certainly a piece of what we see in terms of that anxiety and depression that kids are experiencing.
Well, in the news, we see a lot, William, that the leading cause of death now for kids is gunfire. So kids have to be aware of this a little bit, especially if they're having drills in school. It's got to worry them.
Sure, definitely. It's something I didn't have to grow up with, and I know a lot of us didn't have to grow up with, but that's something that our younger generation is facing. And we're still working on figuring out how to best support these kids. You know, it's a new field for all of us. That's something our health department that we're seeing. We have a whole office dedicated to violence prevention, which is in large part reducing gun violence in our communities. Mm-hmm. That's become a big mission for our health department.
So there's a lot more going on for kids these days. And Michelle, I read somewhere recently that little kids are aware of climate change, and that's another concern that they have.
Oh, absolutely. Just thinking about their futures, you know, what the world would look like. I mean, I think there's so many things that kids are worried about. Some of the signs and symptoms that we see that, you know, they may be worrying, you know, more than usual, you know, is, you know, sometimes we see changes in their functioning. They're not eating the same. They're not sleeping the same. They've got these big world worries that are very valid and real. You know, sometimes they're feeling even more isolated just in some of the thoughts that they have. So some of the things that we really try to do in talking to kids is just normalize, you know, that mental wellness is part of their physical wellness. And so we do see these big worries in kids and want to invite them to express these feelings and have conversation about some of the real and valid things that they're thinking and worrying about that impact their mental wellness and their physical wellness.
The program is called Ask, Listen, Talk, Repeat, all about supporting our kids' mental health. What are some of the warning signs before you even ask that you might notice with kids?
You might see, as I mentioned, some changes we see in kids, you know, changes in their functioning. You know, they're not eating and or sleeping the same. Sometimes they report that they're having challenges with friends. And in some cases, they feel like they don't have any friends. We also hear a lot of intrusive thoughts sometimes, like I'm bad or nobody cares about me, or maybe they're even having trouble in school. Some of these worries are really weighing them down. And so, you know, just kind of having our listening ears or our antennas up for things that we might see that are changes in our kiddos, because I do think they are navigating quite a bit of real and difficult things.
One might argue, not me, but one might, oh, kids are always sad or upset or angry or want to be by themselves and everything. Where is the line when that becomes something that you have to ask about?
I think, you know, one thing that we see certainly in this area of, you know, mental health and mental wellness, and certainly working with kids and teens, is there is still a lot of stigma around this conversation of mental health and mental wellness. And, you know, one of the things that I think we really try hard to do is just normalize that our mental wellness is part of our physical wellness. In the same ways that we take care of our physical body, we want to take care of our mental wellness. And so, you know, I do think there's a fine line, you know, what is kind of normal worrying and normal sadness, because sadness certainly is one of the very valid feelings that we all experience at one time or another. But I do think kids need to hear us say that, you know, it's okay to feel sad, and it's certainly okay to express. Because I think, you know, kids certainly perceive that some feelings are bad or not acceptable to talk about. And we want to really normalize that. And this idea of having this campaign of ask, listen, talk, repeat, you know, really is about that. Like, just opening the dialogue and certainly inviting kids to feel comfortable having conversations about things that may not feel that positive or that comfortable.
How do you ask? You don't say, you look disturbed. You must sit down and we must talk this out.
Well, one of the things, you know, I think can really be impactful, and I think, you know, any parent or any person that's sat in a kid in the car with a kiddo, you know, sometimes these side-by-side conversations in the car really do unfold a lot of things. I think one thing we can do is, you know, being side-by-side on a walk or maybe even in the car, and sometimes planting seeds, you know, is so many things go on in the world. I wonder if these are things that you worry about, or some of the things that I worried about or I felt sad about when I was a kid were these things. I wonder if any of these things have an impact on you, you know, just sort of planting seeds, putting out feelers, because I think what they need to know and hear is that these things are normal. We all experience them, and it's okay to talk about them. In fact, we invite that because we know that removing that stigma and taking them out of isolation really can help have some relief. And there is recovery, and there is help available when kids are feeling the heaviness of these, you know, sometimes difficult feelings.
There's some guidelines on the Austin Public Health website. Again, it's ask, listen, talk, repeat. And you mentioned this side-by-side conversations. And I saw that was one of the tips when it comes to asking, is even if you're sitting down, don't sit across from each other, sit next to. What's the difference?
Yeah, I do think that there's something to, you know, when we are sort of in front of one another, that you feel a little bit on the spot, you know, sort of under the spotlight. I think it removes some of the pressure. It just feels a little more relaxed and a little less threatening, honestly, to maybe speak up and say some of those things that we've been holding and maybe have been fearful to speak up on. So, yes, that's certainly, I say both with kiddos I have worked with and my own kiddos, I feel like just things sort of unfold in a different way in these, you know, sort of normal, non-threatening situations, like being side by side on a walk or in the car, mm-hmm. or doing something you enjoy together.
Yeah. While you're doing something. Hey.
Exactly.
Yeah. As opposed, we must sit down and talk about this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think sometimes we have to make a very serious moment. You know, this is a very serious meeting. Although it is a very serious topic, it can come in a very natural space.
We're talking with Michelle Pearson, who's with Integral Care, working with Austin Public Health and the county and everybody, and William Malm from Austin Public Health. So this about ask, listen, talk, repeat. And there are tips, even cards, if you're not comfortable with this, on this website, on the Austin Public Health website, what to do. But the talk, repeat is really important. Like, it's not enough to do this just one time. Make it part
of your... I think one thing too, you know, with the ask is, like you said, you mentioned, Kevin, is just starting the conversation, you know, planting some seeds and even setting the stage for, if it's not going to happen in that moment, that it can happen at a later date, and kids know that they're invited to have these conversations. The listen piece is to hear without judgment, because I think as adults, we want to fix, or we want to write it, or we want to debate it, that, oh no, that wasn't that terrible. It's really just sort of listening, you know, with listening ears without judgment, and kind of creating a space for them to express exactly what's on their mind. The talk is supporting their emotions, like, oh, that must be difficult to feel, to have those heavy feelings or to feel that sadness. You're really kind of validating and supporting their emotions. And the repeat part is exactly what you said, Kevin, which is keeping that conversation going and growing, that it should hopefully be an ongoing thing, because there are seasons in kids' lives, just like adults, that periods that are more difficult than others. And we want to keep that conversation going.
William, Austin Public Health is not in the business of, I would think, treating people. Do you do more or less point people in the right direction to get help?
That's correct. We work with so many great community partners we have here in Austin, Travis County, and we form these great connections where if anyone ever comes to us needing support, we're able to connect them with sexual health care, mental health care. And in that way, sharing resources and, yeah, pointing people where they need. And so, and like in this case, we're working with our partners at Integral Care, who we've worked with plenty of times before on this mental health campaign, where they're the experts. We're using our resources to get people to Integral Care to get the help they need.
So let's say I'm a single parent and my 12-year-old is just boarded up in his room, won't communicate. He's not hanging out with his friends from when he was 10 and 11 years old. And when he does come out, he's angry. What do I do? How do I seek help to begin with? Who do I talk to?
Sure. No, I think that's a very common scenario, certainly of parents of preteens and teens. I mean, I think, you know, one thing would be to name what it is. I'm noticing you're spending more time in your room. You know, can we spend some time together? I think, you know, it gets harder as they get older and they go through this kind of normal developmental phase of separating themselves. But we do see the isolation, and that's where it kind of becomes problematic. But, you know, inviting that teen to spend some time together, maybe a walk or doing something they enjoy together, and hopefully invite them to talk about maybe how things are going with them. I think one thing that parents and adults can do is get support for ourselves. It's a very normal human thing to want to stay away from difficult conversations, or certainly conversations that we don't have all the answers to, which are many. And so I would say even getting support for ourselves as adults, you know, with getting some tips around how to help this teen, inviting them certainly out of their space. And then in some cases, getting them their own identified support person. Certainly there are a number of counselors and social workers and mental health professionals that are in schools, and then certainly in the community as well. So I think there are a number of layers of support that are available, but I highly encourage parents to also get support for themselves, because it is tricky and we don't have all the answers and couldn't possibly know all the right things to say if there are any. But, you know, getting support for ourselves and how to help that teen, and certainly at times getting one-on-one support for that kiddo as well if needed.
And don't judge the first time they open up and say something. You don't just come back and say, well, that's just crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because then I think that shuts down that communication.
Yeah.
I kind of want to hop in, and something that I've heard while we've been developing this that I just think is so poignant is we need to make mental health issues. You know, if a kid gets a scratch or a cut, they know to come to you to get a bandage, to go to the doctor's office. We need to make mental health that exact same thing. Hey, I felt bad and it's been for longer than a day. I need to go talk to my parents. You know, they're going to take care of me. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I need to be afraid of speaking out about.
What if the parent is the cause of the stress on the kid? Is there anywhere for kids to go when they say, I can't talk to my mom, I can't talk to my dad because he's not here, perhaps? Is there anything for kids to go directly, or does it have to be adults making the contact?
Absolutely. I think the other thing is, you know, like William is mentioning, I think empowering kids to know, also recognizing their own sign and symptoms. You know, I'm feeling sad and it's been, you know, more than a few days, or maybe I'm having thoughts of hurting myself, or I'm having these thoughts of maybe I don't want to be alive. I mean, it's a very real thing that we see in kids and teens. And so, you know, encouraging them to go to a trusted adult at school. I think we're in this tricky time now that we're out of school. So there is increased isolation, you know, in the summertime. But I think, you know, encouraging them, certainly on our website, we have a 24/7 helpline, which is the 512-472-4357. It's 472-HELP. There's a suicide hotline. 988 is also a number that kiddos can call. So we also want to empower them to be able to access resources when maybe families, they know that families may not be that comfortable talking about this and they need to access that support on their own. But yeah, really empowering them to reach out to a trusted adult and or seek out the resources themselves if needed.
One more piece of advice just for me. Watch the movie Parenthood. I was just thinking about it when you guys were talking about something, and the one with Steve Martin as the dad and Keanu Reeves is in there as the boyfriend and all this stuff. There's some really great wisdom in that movie. And maybe just watch that with your kids too, because then you'll realize that everybody has anxiety and everybody's worried about something. So this is not like a month-long program. This is an ongoing, the ask, listen, talk, repeat program is ongoing, correct?
Absolutely. You know, the thing we know is that 50% of mental health issues are diagnosed before age 14. So we do see, you know, challenges and mental health issues in young people. And so the sooner they get the help, the better. And that mental health issues are common. Help is available and recovery is possible. And it's something that we want people to know and to have part of our daily language, you know, about our mental wellness and how it relates to our physical wellness and our general wellness. So yes, it's going to be something we hope to continue to talk about and make very, you know, commonplace, you know, very normalized.
All right. Anything else, William, that you'd like to convey to folks that are in a situation like this where they might need help for their kids or themselves?
Yeah. So real quick, I'm going to go back to your last question. So kind of on our side, on the planning side, right now we're focusing on the very basic of, you know, getting info out there on, hey, it's okay to talk about mental health. We developed those conversation cards, which are our team who designed them. I thought they did a great job. The font looks like a, you know, the font of the prompts looks like a kid wrote them. It's very, you know, short prompts, very easy to read, where, yeah, you know, almost any age level could read it. Thought they did a great job with that. And then our next phase will be giving caregivers and parents and all of that a lot of resources on, as we mentioned before, what signs to look for.
Right.
So that when we just continue to make sure this is in, you know, being communicated in people's minds. And August, October, kids will be coming back to school. Maybe they have some concerns about that. It'll just be a great time to keep reminding parents of what resources are available and what to work on. As for anything else we want to say, we're working to make these conversation cards pretty widely available. We're working with the Austin Public Library, which is obviously another department with our city, to make cards available at our various branches, which are kind of all across the city. So we're still working on that. That's a work in progress. And then we've also gotten requests from several schools in Austin to have some of those decks of cards available. We've even gotten interest from somewhere in Oklahoma that saw the cards and thought, oh, we want some of those. So
Oklahoma.
We're really just working to get those cards out there. It'd be great, you know, for anyone to have them for their kids, for themselves, for, you know, you could use it with a coworker, with a friend. It doesn't have to just be kids. I'm trying to get these resources out to everyone who can use them, and everyone can use them.
And I found the best way to get to this program, real simple, was just to put Austin Public Health in the search engine. I think it's on the main page right under COVID-19 information, which I'm sure has been the major focus of your department for the last, what, 3 years?
It has, and it's tied to this new campaign. COVID has had a huge effect on mental health. But yeah, so we're working on still offering support for COVID-19, but also returning to offering the other services we offered before the pandemic, which includes things like mental health. So we're excited to have the resources to help important campaigns like this.
Michelle Pearson, who's with the Integral Care Program, and they've got a school-based program, and William Malm with Austin Public Health. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much. This is really important, and I hope people pick up on it and make good use of the services that you all provide. So thank you for providing them.
Thank you for having us. I'm grateful to the Austin Public Health partnership that we've had, and I'm also grateful for this time on Sun Radio. So thank you, Kevin.
Michelle revealed to me before our conversation that she is a listener of Sun Radio.
Oh, every morning in the kitchen.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening. Your thoughts on today's program or suggestions for topics you'd like to hear in future editions of the Sun Radio Regional Report are always welcome. Studio@sunradio.com.